Welcome to My Mile, the podcast that deals with our struggles making that next mile, whether a running, cycling, swimming, or whatever endurance sport you're inclined to do. We'll talk about races, training, tips, tricks, gadgets, and anything else of interest in the endurance community. Welcome to My Mile, Episode 2. I'm calling this episode Mistakes We All Make, because let's face it, we all do dumb stuff. And today I want to talk about the dumb stuff we do, how to avoid that, embarrassing things that people have done on the race course and off the race course. We have all done dumb stuff. Especially when starting out, when we don't know what we're doing, we don't know how to race, we don't know the etiquette, we don't know lots of things about the world of running, the world of endurance sports. And I just want to talk a little bit about things that I've done, things that you may have done, common mistakes that we make that may lead to injury. Let's get right into it. Some of the mistakes that I've made, first of all, running with the wrong shoes. And this seems to be something a lot of people do when they start out. They may go to a Walmart or a Target or somewhere and just buy a normal pair of shoes. They may be an okay pair, walking or running shoes, but they don't know their foot type. They don't know if they overpronate, or if they supinate, or if they need a neutral shoe, motion control. And so they just go out and buy the first shoe that feels good. And they may go out and run a few miles and it feels okay, but after they get to a certain point, they start hurting. They may end up with some muscles that are stretched and torn and feel some pain and then quit running because it hurts too much. When I started out, I made this mistake. I got a pair of really cheap running shoes. I don't even think they were really running shoes. They were just some really cheap sport shoes. And I trained for about 3 months in them. Ran a 5K, ran a 5-mile race, and they felt really fine. Until one day when I ran a 10-mile training run, and I got to mile 8, and man, I was hurting. There is nothing that described the pain that I was in. So I finished this 10-mile race, and the very next day, I go to a shoe store. And I went to one of these shoe stores that specializes in running. They watched me walk. They analyzed my gait and how my foot rolls and got me with the right pair of shoes. And so I just took a month of easy running, building back up from where I left off. And once the pain went away, I had no problems. In fact, I've bought this pair of shoes 2 more times since then. It's different for everybody. One pair of shoes that works with one person may not work with another person. But I believe it's really, really, really important to get the right pair of shoes. When you're starting out, go to a store that specializes in running. Schedule a fitting with them. They will tell you exactly what you need. And you can prevent injury that way. Much like I didn't prevent my injury by getting the wrong pair of shoes. So be sure you get the right pair of shoes. Another mistake that I see a lot of runners make is they go out and they buy all the best gear. They're starting out in the sport. They don't really know if they're going to like it or not. And they go out and they buy everything that they could get their hands on that pertains to running. They buy the best shirts, the best shorts. And really, you don't have to do that. You don't have to go out and spend a lot of money on gear that you may or may not know that you'll use. It's okay to invest in a product. But just because it's out there and just because it's $80 doesn't mean that you have to go spend your money on it. You can run in just a plain t-shirt and some track shorts, some track pants, something like that. Because if you're starting out and you decide you don't like it, you've got all this gear that you don't need. I haven't really bought a whole lot of gear. The most I've spent on anything is on my shoes. And I spend maybe about $70 a pair on those. I usually get the off-brand running tights and the compression shirts, and they work just fine. You can go to Walmart, you can go to Target, you can go anywhere and find these items. So, don't splurge on everything that you find. Plan, budget for stuff. One of the toughest things about running is running in races. If you really enjoy doing that, you'll find that you'll be entering yourself into a whole bunch of races, and every race has an entry fee of some sort. So plan ahead, find out which races you like to run, save up for them, you know, save up for the races that you want to run, save up for the fancy gear that you want to buy, and in the meantime, train hard, wear less expensive gear, and have fun with it. The biggest mistake that I see runners make is they do too much in too little time. I could probably say this goes for just about everybody out there in the running community. When you start a race, most of us get caught up within all the excitement, our adrenaline is running, and we just go out too fast, too hard, too early. And by the time we get halfway through a race, we're dead. We're dragging, we're doing the death march. You know, races are supposed to be fun, and if we're going out way too early at the beginning and dragging through the second half, I don't think you can really call that fun. We're supposed to enjoy the courses that are laid out for us. We're supposed to enjoy the people, the crowds. And how can you do that when you've gone out too hard and too fast at the beginning? And at the end, you're wallowing in your own self-pity and your own self-misery because you did go out way too fast at the beginning. So don't make that mistake. Don't go out way too fast, way too early. And also in training, it's okay to test your limits, but know your limits first. Don't go out for a 10-miler on the first day and then put off running forever because you hurt after 10 miles. You know, my first run was a minute and a half. Got on a treadmill, walked a little bit to warm up, and decided to finally kick in and start running. And it lasted about a minute and a half, and that was my limit at the time. Now, over the next 2 weeks, I built up that limit. After about 2 weeks, I could run for 10 minutes at a time. But again, that was my limit at that time, was 10 minutes. And I just slowly built up that limit, you know, pushing it ever so slightly day after day. And that's how you get into training. You don't start off trying to, you know, be all big and bad and working way too hard at something that could hurt you. If you don't respect the sport, if you don't respect the distance, you don't respect the speed and your body, it's going to come back to haunt you. You've got to pace yourself, even when starting out. Know your limits. Like I said earlier, don't go out way too fast. Don't go out way too long early on in your training, or else you're just going to get hurt, and you're going to be sidelined and give up the sport forever, and we don't want that happening. So seriously, pace yourself in races and in training. Know your limits. Don't break your limits by more than very little at a time. If you know you can only run 10 miles, if you want to push that, if you want to grow that, run 11. Don't run 10 miles one day and then run 15 the next day trying to push your limits because you're going to get hurt. You know, run 11 miles. Run 10 and a half. Push your limits little by little because that's how you build your endurance. That's how you build strength. And by doing that, you're not going to get hurt at nearly as easily as you could if you push yourself way too hard. Another mistake I think we all make is race etiquette, especially in our first race. You know, if you race a lot, you understand the crowd, you understand the people, and it's a lot harder to make an etiquette faux pas on the race course. But if you're just starting out, you've never raced before, you don't really know what you're doing, it's very easy to cut someone off or to do something that might tick the person behind you off. There's just a few things you should know about racing, especially if you're in your first race. So what you should do is know your race. Go beforehand. If the race has a website, look at their website. Most of the time, they'll post a map of the race course, so look at the map, know the area, know roughly where you're going, know your start time, know about how fast you can run and about what time you'll finish. Most marathons offer pace groups, so you can join up with the group with that finishing time. And if you're a walker, Don't line up at the front. Please, please, please don't line up at the front. You'll have all these serious runners behind you. They have to pass you, slowing them down, making them mad at you. You really don't want that if you're just there to enjoy a weekend 5K. So if you're a walker, line up in the back. If you line up in the back, you'll be with a lot of people of your pace. You won't be in front of a whole bunch of people who run fast, unless they're late. Yeah, if you're late, you just have to line up in the back anyway. And that's another thing. Show up on time. Show up early enough that you can get registered if you haven't already registered. I would say pre-register if you can. But if you can't, show up early enough that you can register so you can get your swag, you know, the stuff we all get. Show up early enough that you can pin your bib on if you haven't done that already. And with the swag, show up early enough that you can take it back to your car or put it into the bag check if you need to. A lot of marathons, they do their registration the day before. And you can do packet pickup the day before so you don't have to carry it with you. I would advise you, if you can do an early packet pickup, do that. Because that'll prevent you from having to go to your registration table and pick up your packet and go back to your car and then go back to the race and go all this back and forth. You won't have to do that. And also, just read up a little bit on race etiquette. There's a lot of stuff that you should do and shouldn't do. And I'm not going to cover that today, but I may cover that in a later episode. Be educated about a race. Be educated about why you should or shouldn't blow snot rockets. Be educated about why you should or shouldn't cut people off, or why you should have a dog with you, why you shouldn't have a dog or a baby jogger. You know your race. Know the people that you're racing with. At least know their paces. Be in the general area. You know, line up in the front if you're fast, in the back if you're slow. Show up early. Show up early to get your stuff, to register if you need to warm up. Most of all, have fun at the race. Today is Tuesday, December 8th, and it's a really dreary day, very drizzly, really cold outside. So I may hit the treadmill this afternoon for about a 3-mile run. Yesterday I ran 5 miles from the treadmill, did kind of some random intervals. Normally I ran 2 minutes and then walked one, but there are some times that I switched that around and ran 1 minute and walked two, or ran 90 seconds. It was pretty random, just to shake things up and break the monotony. I really have a problem sometimes running on treadmills, and things get monotonous, and just really dislike not seeing any scenery. The treadmill I run on makes it not so fun to run on a treadmill. The speed indicator is always up and down depending on what speed I'm running and where my foot falls on the belt. Sometimes, if I'm running, let's say, 6 miles an hour, it will indicate 5.8 miles an hour, and then on the next step, 6.2, 6.4. So it varies a lot, kind of depending on how light I run or how heavy I run. I don't necessarily trust the distance on it either, just because I know my own pacing. I know how fast I run on the roads. The distance indicator on the treadmill doesn't line up with those pacings. Even my Nike Plus, which is calibrated to a quarter mile on a high school track, is really, really off compared to the distance on the treadmill. So I don't trust it so much, and I kind of use my time to judge how far I've run, just because, like I said before, I know my pacing, I know how fast I run, and it's only usually off by around a quarter mile. I have chosen a half marathon for the spring. I'm not going to run a marathon this year, basically because of budget. I might run a virtual full marathon, and when I say that, I mean I'll go out to Lake Grapevine and run their 12-mile course and then their 8-mile course and then probably do the next 6.2 miles somewhere in between the two courses. And that would be my marathon for the year. I would really love to eventually run a 50K. After running two marathons, 50K really doesn't seem like that much of a jump. Although, once I start training for it, it probably will be. a huge jump. Even running 20 miles in a training run and then running the full marathon, that's a really big leap. And I didn't realize how big that was until I'd ran my first marathon. But it really is a big leap, and it probably is the same way with running a full marathon compared to running a 50K. But this year, I'm just going to run a half marathon, and I've chosen my half marathon. It's going to be the Lake Benbrook Half Marathon. That is in Benbrook, Texas. It's just south of Fort Worth. It's about a 20-minute drive from where I live, which is really great because I don't have to get a hotel. I don't really have to leave way early in the morning to get there. And the great thing about this race is its entry fee. And the entry fee, if you're entering early, is $25. And if you register on race day or a couple of days before, it's only $30. Compare that to the Cowtown Half Marathon, which is a month later. Entry fees there are around $60 to $80, depending on when you register. The downside is you don't get all the really cool swag. You don't get a finisher's medal. There's no expo. It's just a race on a Saturday morning. Kind of a warm-up race for the Cowtown. A lot of people who run Lake Benbrook will run the Cowtown full marathon in the coming month. The two races are about a month apart, so it's prime conditioning for the Cowtown. The course itself is quite technical. There are a lot of hills in the course, a lot of rolling hills, and then there's one really nice hill about the 5-mile mark, and they actually paint "nice hill" on the road with a smiley face, so you know that you've crossed the barrier. It's about a tenth of a mile long, comes around this curve, and when you come around the curve, you're just staring up at this big monolith, you know, kind of like 2001, with the music in the background and everything, and you're thinking, holy crap, that's a big hill. When I faced it the first time, I actually ran up the hill and made it all the way running. I took my walk break before the hill, and I saw it coming, and I decided, I'm going to run up this hill, I'm going to make it, I'm not going to bonk at the end of it. And I made it all the way up the hill running, and all the way down the hill, the other side running. And that is one of the things about this race. It is an out-and-back course, so whatever you do on one side, you've got to come back and do it again. So you actually run Nice Hill twice. So it's a mean hill. If you're not ready for it, it'll eat you alive. You run through a lot of parks. There's not a lot of traffic. There's not a lot of people on the course. The race is probably about, I would say maybe about 500 runners at the most. There is almost no crowd support whatsoever. There's 3 water stops. You go through 2 of them twice. And the third one is at the turnaround point. I really do like the course. Very challenging. I did PR on the course the first time. My first PR I'd set at Cowtown the previous year, and then ran Lake Benbrook and broke that by about 5 minutes. And then ran Cowtown Half Marathon again, and broke that PR by another 5 minutes. So that could be a testimony to how technical Lake Benbrook really is, how tough the course is with the hills and everything. But it really is a fun race. It's kind of cold in the morning. Sometimes the weather is not cooperative. It can be windy. It can be rainy. Last year it was really nice. It was actually a little on the warm side. It probably got up to somewhere around 60. But the start was really cold. It was probably about 40 degrees at the starting line. And standing around for half an hour, depending on how early you get there and start warming up, it was really necessary to find a place in the sun where you can actually warm up, because it's at this little park, and the only thing they've got there is a pavilion. They had a concession stand. They had some Power Bar Gel Blast there. And if you remember the previous episode, I was talking about the Cola Power Bar Gel Blast. This is the race that had those. This year, I'm not expecting a PR, although it'd be great if it did happen. I'm just expecting to go out there and have a really good time and actually run a race for once. I haven't run one since I ran Oklahoma City in April. So I'm really looking forward to actually getting out and running a race again. Okay, we've reached the listener comments section of the show. Today the mailbag's empty. I don't have anything to share with you guys as far as listener comments. But I would like to share a few things that people have been saying about Episode 1 and the advent of this podcast. First of all, one of the things I did when publishing the first episode of this podcast was to just get my name out there and make it known that the podcast exists. I guess you could call us some shameless promotion. I'd say the single person who inspired me the most to actually get up and start doing my own podcast would be Steve Runner over at Fidipidations. The last three episodes he's been talking about why we should all do our own podcast or blog or video cast. Really, he's the one who just gave me the kick in the rear to go do that. So one of the first things I did was email him and just let him know that he had inspired me to do this. And I got an email back from him just saying, just welcome to the RunNet community and the podcasting world. He said, it's great to have your voice out there. I also sent news of the podcast over to Nigel from Running from the Reaper. And he has put the podcast on to runningpodcast.org. I'll put the address in the show notes, and you can check it out for yourself. There's about 50 or so podcasts there, and he actually wrote a really, really great news article just for the website of his, detailing the first episode. Really great. I think he did a better job writing this than I could have ever done. If you have any comments or questions, you can send them to mymilepodcast@gmail.com. Also on Twitter, as The Burnster. The podcast is located at mymilepodcast.podbean.com, and you can also leave a comment there if you'd like. So please send me a message and I'll feature it on the next show.